Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Mortimer, we're back. I love it. The 49ers get amazing news today with not one, but two. And this is what I had in my notes. Clay Kubiak stole my line. Son of a bitch stole my line. Not one, but two potential Hall of Famers return to practice today. So if you have been out of the loop, George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey back in pads. And the largest jump is, man, a seven-month return from torn Achilles, which happened in late January, to being off of the pup, ready to go in practice. Now, like, I don't want to be the guy that's like a wet blanket. Energy should be level 10, rightfully so. It is absolutely off the charts amazing that George Kittle is off the pup. It's great that Christian McCaffrey is back at practice. And what this means is so much. And the energy, you know, everybody's talked about how today's practice was just a different level in energy. Well, you got 8-5 back. Christian McCaffrey is a machine and crazy work ethic, but George Kittle is, that dude's the spirit freaking of the team, offense, defense. The leadership's Fred Warner. The energy level comes from George Kittle. The physicality comes from Dre Greenlaw. Right? It's like you have so many guys. I mean, potential seven Hall of Famers on this roster. It's not going to be seven, but potentially that is there. You get two out of those guys back on the same day. Now, George Kittle didn't do 1v1s. He did not do team drills, but he was in pad, went through warmups, went through individual, went through routes on air. That is huge. It's such a giant leap forward. We'll go over timeline expectations, all those things. But the one thing that's guaranteed about George Kittle not being on the pup, they expect him to be back before week five. Before week five. Okay. So you look at the schedule, man, as soon as the Achilles happened, you're thinking, all right, might be back by Halloween. All right. The end of October. Might. A traditional Achilles takes 9 months. That's just to get back. And so you're thinking the bye week, right? End of October. That means miss the first 7 weeks. And then he's way ahead of schedule. He's starting to look good. And I'm out there at training camp watching him warm up. And it's like, yeah, he looks good. Doesn't look perfect, but looks good. And then they're like, well, they don't think he might not even be on the pup. And I'm just like, man, that's crazy. And then they're talking about maybe week one. That's insanity. I still think a little outside of the box. But week five is October 11th. That means he's back for one of the first four games. Rams, Dolphins, Cardinals, Broncos. I'm going to stick to my timeline that has been adjusted, obviously. And I hope I'm wrong. Like, I hope George Kittle's out there week one and plays, 60 snaps. Isn't that probably not responsible? But that week three divisional game against the Cardinals, that seems to make a lot of sense. To me, I don't want him going on the plane ride and all those things. But if you're telling me now that George Kittle's going to be back, barring any other setbacks, knock on wood, before week five, the Seattle Seahawks game, that is huge. I still think week three is the game. I still think that that's where it's going to be. Look at this, Trey, my man. Great to see you and the kiddo. Me and Mav watching in our new fan cave. He's updated in pictures. Looks freaking awesome. Now, I do have to say, like, the girlfriend slash wifey, I'm not sure where the stance is, is a Raiders fan, but she's awesome. She's so pleasant. The room looks fire. Half Raiders, half Niners, one side versus the others. Love it. He says, I got a 49ers rush towel hanging up. Strip's dope. Coach said the drop was on Max early release thoughts. Yeah, I broke this down on the tape. Like, the pocket was perfect for Mac Jones. He climbed the pocket. He throws the deep ball to Stribling. Now, bottom line, Strib's got to catch that. It hits you in the palm of your hands, both hands. You got to catch it. That's where it, like, and, you know, as a former receiver coach, you got to catch that ball. Yes, the perfect execution of the play Mac was early. And, you know, judging that ball over your right shoulder to your left outside shoulder is tough in and of itself. Willie Mays Hayes, right? It's not easy. Yes, was it the perfect pass timing-wise? No. Could have made it easier, and there was no pressure. The pocket was perfect. Maybe the best rep we've seen of Connor Colby and Carver Willis together, but got to catch the ball. Yeah, I'm putting the fault on Stribling for sure, but the good news is you don't have to worry about too much about Stribling. He's back at practice. He's wearing a non-contact jersey. All right, so like the shoulder's an issue. Demo's back at practice. He's wearing a non-contact jersey. They got black jersey for the offense because the quarterbacks wear the black non-contact jerseys. Defense wear blue non-contact. I got a lot of questions like, what's the difference between blue and black? Oh, one's on offense, one's on defense. The quarterbacks are out there in black jerseys every single day. It means stay away, but you don't want a wide receiver wearing a black and then a corner wearing a black jersey. It just, you want different uniforms. So you got four colors out there. That's what it is. So, yeah, Matt could have been later with the release for sure, but still got to catch the ball. So I'm giving that play a 9 out of 10 for Mac. Slight criticism on getting rid of the ball early. And I'm giving that play probably a 3 out of 10 for Deshaun Stribling, right? Because he ran a perfect route. Speed was awesome. Everything was there. Got his hands on the ball. Got to bring it in. And probably the thing that pissed me off the most, even if he did catch it, he was down at the 2. I don't like that. I want the damn touchdown. I want it all. But yeah, so you're talking about George Kittle back at practice. You're talking Christian McCaffrey back at practice. Deshaun Stribling, no contact, but practicing. And Diamondore Lenore, no contact, but practicing. That's huge. A lot of players still out. Renardo Green, Pleasance, Robert Jones, Nick Martin, Nick Bosa, Kyle Juszczyk, Grayson Halton. Not great. And a couple new injuries. Romello Height, undisclosed. They did not put this out there. Was not at practice. Hasn't had the best preseason. Maybe it was cramps. He got carted off again. I don't think that's what it was. That's a little bit of a joke. Maybe the low blow. And also, Mike Evans took his pads off halfway through practice and looked frustrated. That's what Jennifer Lee Chan said. Shout out to JLC. Cam Inman said it seemed like it was precautionary, but no updates on that one yet, so we'll see where that one is. Malik, my man, appreciate the super chat. JC, super random, but how would you describe the role differences between the Sam and Will linebackers? Been wanting to ask you this for a while. Appreciate you. Oh, dude, Malik, that is not off topic. That's our wheelhouse, baby, and we're going to spend a lot more time talking about CMC. I got quotes and all those different things. We got a lot more on the CMC and George Kittle return, so stay tuned for that. But, Malik, appreciate you, man. So, like, you have different skill sets for all three of your linebacker positions. And the Niners do not have a traditional, like, Fred Warner is the Mike. In the pass game, he has a lot of will responsibilities towards trips. So, whenever I was a DC, and, you know, I coached in a 4-2-5, what we would do is we would, and the 49ers have said this too, you put your best communicator at Mike. That's where that is. Okay, now Will is your freak. Who's the best athletic linebacker you have, you put at Will, because they have to run vertical with number 3. The 49ers don't do that. The 49ers changed their defensive rules because you have Fred Warner, who is the best communicator, the best leader on the entire 49ers team. He literally gives halftime speeches when his leg's broken. But he's also the best coverage linebacker in NFL history. I will stand by that. So you keep Fred Warner with the will pass rules sometimes versus trips and empty sets. So Will, for the 49ers in their current state, and has been this way since, gosh, about 8 years straight, Mike is the best communicator, but also the best athlete. That's Fred Warner. Will is your thumper. That's the way the 49ers do it now, because now Drake Greenlaw can do everything. I mean, he's a top 10 linebacker in coverage, and he's the most feared linebacker in the NFL, I would say. So he's a little bit different, but usually you put your best athlete at Will. The 49ers don't do that because they do hybrid with the Mike running with the 3 vertical. No other 4-2-5 does that. Some teams now do that because Robert Saleh adopted that, then D'Amico Ryan's adopted that, and you've had so much of that coaching tree expand. So some teams flip that, some teams don't. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Now, Sam Bakker, that's your guy that's stout against the run, that is somewhat of a liability in coverage. And that's why the nickel package was invented. Because what you would do with the nickel, and this is the personnel thing too, like who can run? Who can run? Who can cover? Tweener, little bit of everything. Can do a little bit because you got to play inside and you got to fill that B gap consistently. So you're a box player, but they put you out there in pass heavy situations. So the Sam backer, the number three guy, usually fever backer, you can call him whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Teams a lot of times call that their star, their Panther. I was the Panther, right? We call it the Panther, call it whatever. But that is somebody that's going to be stout against the run that can cover a little bit. Because usually you're going to put him over the heavy side because you personnel it, right? If it's 12 personnel, 21 personnel, that means you got at least two tight ends or at least two backs out there. He's going to be responsible for one of those. So you're not putting him out there on a wide receiver. And if you do, then you're screwed, right? If it's 11 personnel, well, then you're a nickel. So then your nickel's on a wide receiver. It's just a matter of numbers. You got five eligibles at all time. If three of those are big-bodied, whether backs or tight ends, then you stay in your traditional 4-3. That means your three linebackers, the Sam guy, he's going to be covered a tight end or a back. You feel comfortable with that. Don't feel comfortable with him guarding a wide receiver. You go nickel, 4-2-5. All right, we're going to put Upton Stout out there. Had a pick today, by the way. Upton Stout, love 20. And now they're doing dollar fronts, which is dime, where you bring on a whole nother, you know, defensive back, whether that's an additional safety, which that's what Seattle does. They have the hybrid, you know, giant whatever Cam Chancellor role that is a safety slash linebacker. Kyle, you know, you go to back to Kyle Hamilton and you look at where they are now. Like, that's what they do. So the Niners don't typically do that. They do a bigger nickel. And so, again, if they don't like a coverage situation with the tight end, then they'll go big nickel. So, like, that's the different personnel. Hopefully that helps. Hopefully I explained that. And again, Malik, that is an awesome question. I could talk about that stuff all the time. Trey, thanks for the update. I'm so sorry. She's wifey. Baby number two due in October. Yes! We need more Halls. That family is incredible. Shout out to Mav. Tell him I said what's up. His necklace was incredible. His energy was incredible, man. We had him announcing giveaways at the Seattle thing last year. It was just great, man. It was just great. Awesome, man. Appreciate you, Mav. You're the best. And, dude, shout out to the new sibling coming soon. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. I didn't even get into, man, this is episode 1703. Thank you to our executive producers, 49ers George 365, David Gill, Corey Robbins. You guys are the best. What's up, Phil? Appreciate you, man. What's up, Jason? You guys are the best, man. And look at this. Like this is the thing that's just so crazy. No, appreciate you, man. He's over in Israel. You are crazy, man. I will not go to sleep till I get John's take on a 7-month recovery from Achilles. Makes no sense. The Achilles used to ruin careers. And you know, medicine, that's awesome. The surgeries, the science, and the money that's involved in this is such a big damn deal because it's just getting better. Like ACLs used to ruin careers. Done. You tear your ACL, over. Now we got guys with three ACL tears like Nick Bosa. You got guys coming off Achilles in 7 months that are 32 years old. What the hell, man? Now, the specific tear, I'm not a doctor. Shocker to everybody watching this. It was higher, so that's a faster recovery. George Kittle's one of one. The amount of effort and beer that is endorphins pumped through that body is crazy. And so, man, you got to love it. But back before Richard Sherman's injury, it was that two-year window. When you tear your Achilles, it's 2 years. 1 year, you're back playing. You don't get the explosiveness back till year two. You're not filling yourself till year two. Same thing with Dre Greenlaw, right? That happened. He tears his Achilles in the Super Bowl, gets signed. You know, it doesn't come back and play like he's supposed to, misses all the – only played three games. It took him, you know, almost 2.5 years. Till he started feeling the same way. Then you see the playoff run of Dre Greenlaw with the Broncos last year. Dre Greenlaw was Dre Greenlaw. Like you saw it. They were in contention to win both those playoff games, the Broncos, because of Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga, who Niners should get, but that's okay. It's just miraculous. And you know, Christian McCaffrey was asked today. We'll get to his press conference about all the Christian McCaffrey updates. He just said he looks incredible. It's amazing what he's done. Like, this is flabbergasting. Like it is just, this makes no sense. But does George Kittle make sense? He does not. He's batshit crazy. And it's great to see so many good things happen. Now, hopefully you don't rush him back. And again, back to the whole Kittle timeline. What we know now is he's not going to miss week five. The anticipated return is before week five. Everybody can talk all you want about week one. I get it. I want them out there too, but here's the truth. Kickoff is in 17 days, week one against the Rams. In Australia, it complicates things. You fly to Australia in 10 days. That means you have 1 week for George Kittle to decide, is he playing week one or not? I still think week three. But the fact that he's starting to log these practices now, you've got to have rest days built in. One, he's not doing one-on-ones, or, you know, 1v1s. He's not doing team. So that those are the next thing. The next big step is he practicing multiple days in a row? Does he take tomorrow off? I wouldn't be shocked if he took tomorrow. Let's see how the body responds. The slow ramp up, 32 years old, not a spring chicken anymore. You got to see how that goes. So what you're looking for as far as just checkpoints to hit, all right, back-to-back practices, that'd be important. Does he practice tomorrow? If he practices tomorrow, man, more good news. When does he do 1v1s? When does he get into team? When does he practice back-to-back after going through a full practice? These are the checkpoints that now you are looking for. And the good news, here's the great news. We are close to the start of the season where injury updates and practice labels have to be put out there, right? That is huge. Limited, you know, or full practice. Limited or full. That's important. So that's going to be out there. Now, if he doesn't fly to Australia, which I would not fly George Kittle to Australia, I don't want him on a flight for 34 hours, 17 times 2, 34. I think that's right. I'm doing like the Fry meme what's it called? Oh, I can't even think of the damn show. What, Futurama, where he like squints his eyes. Not sure if, 17 times 17, 34. 17 times 2, 34. I don't want him on that. And you have to make that decision in 10 days. You got to figure that out. When does he get back-to-back days? When is he taking part in 1v1s? When is he taking part in team? When is he taking part in back-to-back days of team full contact pads? That's where all of those things are. That's where all of those things are. And again, I'm sticking to it right now, and I hope I'm wrong. I love being wrong. This is the podcast that don't want to be right. I want George Kittle out there week one. I'm not sure that's smart. I'm not sure that's the best prediction right now. But we know for sure he will be back by week five. Seattle Seahawks. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. Look at this. Zach Attack. Thanks for the super chat, my friend. Love what you do, Jod. Man, thank you. I do it because of you guys. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. Wife and I are expecting a boy, girl, slash twins early to late September. Can't wait to add two more Niner fans to the greatest fan base in the world. Just in time for the season to start. Man, one of us wins. We all win. And we get to win twice with Zach. Dude, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That is huge. Blessings to you and your family. Shout out to those kiddos. Get to get raised in a loving home. I see a picture of your lovely wife there. That is incredible. The community is everything. The community is everything. Zach, thank you so much, man. And just congratulations to you and your wife. Freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. I freaking love it. Right here. Bid, what's up, brother? Sorry, I'm behind in the chat. Kittle. Regarding Kittle, I always say Hall of Fame players do Hall of Fame things. Case in point, George freaking Kittle, baby. It's bananas. It's bananas what he is doing. It makes no sense what he is doing. Look at this, Jacob. Love listening to my birthday twin talk about Kittle. What's up, man? Yeah, September 14th. Hey, man, Zach, maybe if those kiddos come out September 14th, you know, that's my birthday. I think I'm in Australia those dates. Maybe I'm back already. Yeah, my life is a blur right now. There we go. I like this, Joel. Put Kittle on a boat tosser. Just put him in a shipping container. Put some whey protein, some Monster Energy drinks, 12-pack of whatever he drinks. He'll be fine. He'll get there in perfect shape. And, you know, again, back to the Kittle thing, he alluded last week at the press conference that he is at play weight. His rookie year, he was at 260. His sophomore year, he was at 250. Since then, third year on, he's played around 240, 242. He says he's at 245 right now. That's awesome. And the clips out, the videos, you know, Cam Inman had some clips. Jennifer Lee Chan had some clips. Matt Miyoko, Barrows had some clips. It looked good. Now, you know, me and Raj from RSF Niners, we're up there watching practice and watching Kittle go through this lengthy warm-ups. His early warm-ups looked rough for a while, but just better. So, like, this isn't really a big deal. He's not going through contact. There's no like, now you're hitting practice dummies, which he's been kind of doing with coaches. You know, you're doing light drills, you know, hitting the sled, whatever else. But he's not running into other humans at full speed yet. You've got to slowly bring that back. So, excitement deserves to be present. I still don't think he plays week one or week two, but that's okay. Right here, 404. Kittle is going. I want him on it. He can fly the plane. You're wrong, bro. Oh, I like being wrong. It is one of my favorite things. It's one of my favorite things is being wrong. I don't mind it at all. Right here, Sully. Is it just me or is Kittle legs still not still looking a little skinnier? Hopefully he's not rushing this. Again, he's at 245. Usually his play weight's 242. 17 days away from kickoff week one. You're not too upset about a 3-pound difference that time. I mean, we would weigh our players before and after practice in Texas heat on the hot days because you got to make sure you replenish those fluids. You don't want, you know, Texas heat stupid. You know what I mean? And being out in practice is in the hot, whatever. Anyway, I am 100% positive that the 49ers track pre-weight, post-weight, all those things. But he's where he should be. Where he should be. So if his legs look a little skinnier, I don't know about that. I'll leave that up to you. He did look pretty skinny throughout the offseason, but he's at 245, which I like it. I mean, he's still jacked. It's not like he's skipping the weight room days. He's just not. Invader says, do not expect Kittle to make the trip to Australia. ECRG says, I'd be surprised if he does that. Yeah, there we go. There we go. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Dude, how are you not pumped about this? All right, as if you're not excited enough, let's dive into the Christian McCaffrey talk because this was huge. This should be the lead story. That's how good today is. Ah, man. But before we do, Dude, I have to give a shout out to Eric. He's one of our Patreon subscribers. I won't put his last initial out there. He emailed me. And I thought this was really cool, so I wanted to share this. He says, I'm Frank Gortier, but I want to bet with you this year. You made me $500 on the draft, and now I believe. Plus, I love the Seahawks free bet at plus money. Heck yeah. Now, I cannot guarantee results. We have done this with my booking. We post our bets all the time at the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon panel, Jerry Rice, Taren Buff. We posted big profits 7 out of 8 years. 1 year we lost money. This year could be a bad year. I don't know. I like our betting philosophy. I love our betting strategy, and it's just fun as hell. So if you want to bet at any time, man, go sign up. MyBookie.ag, promo code 49ers with the free bet. Want to start football season off with a bet that feels like it can't miss? The MyBookie lock of the season is back, and the first one is an absolute no-brainer. With the Patriots in Seattle for the NFL kickoff, MyBookie is asking one simple question. Will the Seahawks raise the banner that night? Of course they will. They're the defending champs. It's their home opener. The entire game is designed about raising the banner, and they've already talked about doing it that night. So you're getting plus money odds right now on MyBookie.ag. You get paid to say yes. That's all you got to do. So that's the first MyBookie lock of the season. There's going to be a lot more all season long, and you should be betting with us. We post our weekly bets over at the49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. We show you how much, what to bet, and where. We've done very well. Major profits 7 out of 8 seasons since we've been doing this. So get in before kickoff of the first NFL game at mybookie.ag with promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS. And on addition to that, you get a bet back bonus from $50 to $500. You opt in whenever you're ready for that. And if you miss the bet, if you don't get it right, you get all the money credited right back to you with a one-time rollover industry best. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. Yes, you can bet in California with MyBookie. Go check it out. MyBookie. All right, let's talk number 23, which, man, the aura at the podium, wearing a Roger Craig t-shirt and a Trent Williams hat, just flexing, which, you know, Christian McCaffrey, like, he's not one of my favorite people behind the mic, very monotone and just kind of political answers. He was raised and designed to be in this role that he's in. Props to him and his family. It's what he's built in a lab. It's what it is. But, like, he doesn't usually give a lot of discernible information. He's a machine. Whatever you put in there, he's going to put out. And a lot of, you know, whatever, a lot of quotes and stuff that he's heard, he just spits out. He's a machine. He's designed to be what he is, and I respect the shit out of that. It's just, you don't get a lot of usable information a lot of times, but this time he lets you kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit. So he practiced today, Christian McCaffrey, and not only did he practice, he took part in team. That's huge. Again, back to the George Kittle. Like, okay, they're in pads. Are they in non-contact? All right, cool. What are they taking part in? Are they doing 1v1s? Okay, that's cool. Are they doing team? You check all those boxes. That's huge. Now you're in the business. Now you're in the business, right? And Christian McCaffrey's first day back, Matt Barrow said he got about 12 team snaps. That's what you like. That's crazy, his first day back. But I kept telling everybody, when you watch Christian McCaffrey at training camp and practice, which I've done through the years, he's one of those guys, kind of like a Nick Bosa, kind of like a Kyle Juszczyk, that's going to do his own stuff off to the side, and he jumps in and out as he sees fit. They are not guys that, and you could put Evans in that group as well. They're not Trent Williams in that group. Like, they know what they're doing. They have their reps planned. They have how many reps, how many routes, how many carries, how many this, how many that. And so just because Christian McCaffrey hasn't been out there, whenever you watch him go through his very rigorous warm-up, you could tell it's there. And I've said this all training camp. Christian McCaffrey looks way more explosive this training camp, even with the missed practices, than he has the previous two. Christian McCaffrey looks more explosive than he has the previous two times. Will that translate in season? We'll see. But the fact that he gets out there and gets 12 team snaps from Matt Barrows, according to Matt Barrows. Plus, he said he had a 25-yard run outside in team. That's huge. Now, Christian McCaffrey gets behind the mic, says, quote, feel great. Love where we are at, end quote. I don't expect him to say anything else. But he said, quote, this was the plan from the jump, to ramp up and then come back down and ramp back up so that they're fresh for the duration, 17 games. I'm not here in the truth-telling Christian McCaffrey business. I'm not a decipherer of truth. Shanahan, we know. When Kyle Shanahan talks about injuries, man, it doesn't mean anything. It means something, but yeah, be careful. I don't know why Christian McCaffrey would go out and say those things. Said he feels great. This was the plan all along. But the fact that he comes back in his very first practice in pads and has already taken team in 1v1s, not shocked. Just not shocked. Really not. I've been, you know, I'm doing best ball drafts with Mikey over at Best Brew Fantasy. Go check him out. He's awesome. And I'm not fading Christian McCaffrey. I'm still taking him in the first round. Can he hold up throughout the year? Now, that's a question that still needs to be there, but people talking about Holden's or he's injured and this is like 2 years ago. Absolutely not. Like, that has not been present. We didn't see a practice 2 years ago. And Kyle Shanahan still gets up there like, oh, he could start week one. Like, they weren't having Christian McCaffrey doing these press conferences saying these things back then, right? So you judge where you are now versus where you were then. It's night and day difference. He's taking team reps. Like, he looks awesome. He doesn't look gingerly. I'm not talking about his hair color. Like, he looks the part. The explosiveness is there, guys. Now, again, if you are really big on fading him because he led the NFL in touches last year, I understand that. I'm telling you where he is now. I cannot predict where he will be in the future. Do I expect him to have 2,000-plus yards this year? No. That's if he has another 2,000-yard season, I think he's in, like, the rarest. I think it's, like, Eric Dickerson and, like, Marshall Faulk and him. Like, there's, like, three people that have ever accomplished this many 2,000-yard seasons ever. Like, it's crazy what he's accomplished with his career. Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm so pumped. I'm excited. I was not on the Sky Has Fallen CMC train. And the fact that not only is Christian McCaffrey back, Jordan James is back, Kalen Black is back. The running back room, the fist, as Bobby Turner says, the band's back together. That is huge. One of my biggest concerns about this team is the running back position because you only got three guys. I do not count Isaac Grinder, who's still not practicing. Even if he was healthy, I would not count Isaac Grinder. I've never been on that train. But, like, now that all three are back, plus, you know, just throwing this out there now, where is it? Jordan James turns the corner and is gone. Vic Tafur put that out there on Twitter during practice day. Like, that's huge. The explosiveness, the passing game. And, you know, Kubiak was asked about Jordan James. Kubiak said, quote, really happy to see him back out there. We have really loved Jordan. Went on to say, quote, he has had two really good practices. He's going to get a lot of reps in the game. And then the last quote from Kubiak on Jordan James, quote, trying to get him involved in the pass game. More reps, more growth, end quote. Decipher that however you see fit. The fact that Kalen Black played as many snaps as he did, zero involvement in the receiving game. You've got Kalen Black. If you're playing a heavy blitz team, put him back there in pass pro. You're trying to get the ball out quick and some checkdowns? Put out Jordan James. What's your flavor, baby? You get a pick. CMC is everybody's flavor. But you need better pass protection? You go Kalen Black. You need somebody that can catch out of the backfield? You go Jordan James. And you could bounce those guys back and forth. That's not a negative. What are we playing this week? What do we need? You're number two this week. And I think it's going to bounce back and forth. I really, really do. I think you have Christian McCaffrey and you have two backups. You got to see what that is. My favorite thing about Kalen Black, no negatives. Like, he moves forward. Favorite thing about Jordan James, he's a more versatile three-down back option. Way faster, better receiving. Do with that what you will. Super chat. What's up, Scott? My man, appreciate you so much. Thank you. Is it true? Is it true drinking Foster's and putting shrimp on the Barbie will help Niners win? How red will that stadium be? Ever collab with Johnny Dale? Yeah, we've done shows together. Johnny Dale is a friend. We message all the time. He's awesome. I know he's with the Gold Standard. Shout out to Rob. I love pretty much everybody over there. I want success for everybody. Like, I am a Johnny Dale guy, and I think he's coming to the Atlanta 49ers Rush road trip. So you want to meet the legend, which Johnny Dale is that. He's awesome. I struggle with I am a routine person, and so I don't like a lot of joint shows. Even though I do a lot of them, I want the same schedule every week. So, like, Wednesdays I do Larry. Tuesdays I'm with, you know, Wayne. And Thursdays I'm with Cutback. Then I'm traveling the rest of the time. Like, I'm flying on Mondays. I'm flying on Saturday. I'm flying on Fridays. There's not a lot of room for solo shows built in there. But I do love them. And I think that stadium in Australia is going to be red. I want to say, like, 60% red. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. Australia is going to be so cool. Thank you so much, man. Right here, I don't know if you're blocked. Yeah, guys, we block people for attacking. We are a family friendly show, so you have to understand we're not dropping F bombs all the time. And you know, sometimes when we get pissed, I'll announce before the show. I've never blocked one person on here. I do have moderators in the chat that if they are entirely negative or pulling the attitude of the room down consistently or attacking other people, then I tell them put them on a timeout. I'm not big blocker guy, but if you're dropping F-bombs and going after people in the chat, then yeah, you're going to get put in timeout usually. That's kind of the way. And like, I'll just say this. I've never blocked anybody on here. That's why I have moderators, people I can trust, and I trust their judgment. You could disagree. We do. I love disagreements. I love disagreements. But if you're on here, just fire Kyle Shanahan 45 messages every single show and not contributing everything and just like that's not really what we're going for here, you know what I mean? So yeah, do with that what you will. But yeah, we're not in the blocking community or whatever. That's not really what we do, but this is a family friendly show. And I know so many people tell me, oh, I listen to you while I drive my kids to school so that they can learn about the Niners too. And we want to be respectful of that. Sometimes I throw out a four-letter word and I apologize, but sometimes it's necessary. If I curse, it is for a reason. Phil, the man, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat, my buddy. Hashtag CC, don't let Kittle on the plane. And Phil, I know you've already seen the update, but I want to put this up here while you're here. We have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout. We do this once a month. We get on Zoom. We party. This Saturday, the 29th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, this is where we project our 53-man roster. So you want the season-long bets. You want the Zoom hangout. You want the video breakdowns, which now all four quarters are up from the second preseason game. Go sign up at 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel, which is in the link in the description of this video / podcast. We will be together Saturday Zoom hangout. The community is awesome. So sign up to support us. Sign up because you want to watch the breakdown. Sign up because you want to bet. Sign up because you want to do the Zoom stuff. Whatever it is, go sign up. Support us. 7-day free trial. You sign up today, you get to take place in all those things. Don't like it? Cancel. And if you ain't got the money, cancel. Sign up for 7 days and just see how it goes. See how it goes. I love it. Oh, what's up? Grand A in the house. The Miss says hi, Sean. Tell herself what's up, man. It has been a while. Hopefully we get a cross pass again this season, man. Appreciate you guys. Oh, you guys are freaking awesome. I love you guys. Big Brick, red and gold. Fi Stadium was mostly red on Thursday night. Only blue in the stadium was the empty seats. Yeah, SoFi belongs to us. And we'll be back in SoFi. We'll be there for the Thursday night game against the Chargers. We'll be there tailgating beforehand. I am super pumped about that. I really did. Yeah, Jacob right here. Don't have much patience for the Fire Shanahan and Trade Purdy folks myself. I don't mind if that's your thing. Some of my closest friends feel that way, and that's okay. Like, disagreements are great, but you can only deal with so much negativity after a while. There's channels for that. We're not that channel, and that's okay. Like, you can jump in here and say Fire Shanahan and, you know, trade Purdy and whatever, that's okay. But I'm not going to give a lot of that credence. And so people get upset whenever I don't highlight and comment on that stuff, which I try to be very mindful of the chat. It's difficult, definitely. It's a one-man wrecking show over here. So do with that what you want. Yeah. What about SoFi for the Super Bowl? Man, if the Niners make the Super Bowl, you know, we did this in Vegas when they made the Super Bowl there. I've been to the Super Bowl. I went to the one in Miami, and it had a wonderful time. It was awesome. I'm not the biggest Super Bowl guy. Like, the two rows ahead of me were vacant the entire time. 15 people with suits and lanyards showed up, took a picture in the third quarter, then left. Not football fans at all. You know, like, everybody's taking selfies the whole time. Like, it was not for me. It's awesome. And the amount of money that costs, if you can do that, God bless you. What we did in Vegas is we rented a venue next to it so that everybody can explore it and, you know, go through the experience of Super Bowl week. But we watched it with fans. We rented out a bar, the most money I've ever spent on an event in my life. Almost went broke, started having panic attacks, but that's okay. But, man, turned out to be such a successful event. We actually were able to cover all the credit card payments, which was huge. And it was the best time ever. The 49ers lost, but we were with the people we loved, and it was badass. And if the Niners would have won that game, would have been one of the best experiences of my entire life. So the plan is to do that again. So, we will probably be in Los Angeles, and we will have a venue. I already have a couple contracts out pending if the Niners do make it that far. And we'll do a watch party, which is much more manageable, much more financially stable and reasonable for so many people, but you still get that experience. And we watch the game together, and we have a badass time. And that was, if the Niners would have won, it probably been one of the coolest thing ever. I love being with people. You guys know me. Yeah, right here, Sin was there. John, the Vegas event was top-notch. Thank you, Sin. That means the world coming from you. And I think I even spilled a Bloody Mary on Sin that it's what I'm running around like a madman, but, yeah, anyway, Sin, you're the best. Absolutely great. Can't wait to see you at the Zoom hangout. You're awesome right here. Maria, I was at the Super Bowl in Houston when Tom Brady and the Patriots came back from the dead to beat the Falcons. It was crazy. Yeah. I've heard people have a lot better experience. I just remember just being like, dude, this is the atmosphere. Wasn't that cool. The lead up to it, the weekend of it was awesome, but you know, paying that much money, believe it or not, John Chapman does not have a heavy bankroll. I love my life and I'm very thankful for what I do, but we're not printing money over here, but we are doing well and we get to travel. And you know, our goal with all these rush road trips is to break even. That's the goal. It's not always the situation that happens, sadly. Sometimes we don't. Last year in New York, oh, that one hurt. That one hurt bad. It just didn't go the way that we wanted it to. And so, you know, that's kind of where that is. Now, right here. Oh, ECRG. John, Jess here. What's up, Jess? Oh, I see the picture. Oh, man, it's so great to put the, you know, to attach that. Jess is a legend. If you haven't met her, she's incredible. Talk a bit about your tailgate for the Dolphins game. I will be at that game from Jersey. Yes. So we're doing all the away games for the most part. Not doing Kansas City, not doing New York. We'll see about Arizona, the last one. We'll be at all the other ones, including Australia and Mexico City. But we're doing the home opener game for the Dolphins. We are doing a tailgate right across off of 49ers property, which I'm super excited about. It's in the AVE Santa Clara. We rented out their entire fourth floor lounge area with TVs, grills, pool, you name it. And it's so close. Like, we used to throw parties in the blue lot. This is twice as close as a lot of the parking lots at Levi's are. And so the walk is closer, and it's not 49ers own territory. So we get to do our own thing. So we start our tailgate an hour before the lots even open. I think it's $55, all inclusive, premium, everything, food, you know, top shelf. We have our own bartenders, our own food, giveaways, all that stuff. You name it, we got it. So that is up right now. If you want to join us, and we do have limited spots. So this is kind of a dip your toe in the water thing. If we sell this one out, we're going to add more home games to the crowd. If we don't, we'll see. You know me. I'm a glutton for punishment, and I want to create as many opportunities as we can. But if it doesn't go well, because I understand a lot of people have their home tailgate set up with their friends, and that's a beautiful thing. I know that's not for everybody. A lot of people fly in for the game. So we're trying to offer space, see a need, fill a need, because I get these emails every week. John, I'm coming in for my first game. I don't know where to go tailgate. John, I'm coming in. We're trying to create that. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets now. Our events for the entire season are up. We do a pregame party the day before on the away games, and then we do an all-inclusive premium tailgate. Kids free to everything, and we are not the cheapest. There are way cheaper places to party out there. If money is a concern, our party might not be for you. I want top-shelf liquor. I want quality food. I've paid for tailgates with 49ers fans in the past, which is great, and I endorse that. But I got a cold hot dog and a hot beer. And I was like, man, that's not my jam. And a lot of, you know, some of those groups strive for really big numbers. And that's okay, because you get to feel a part of the community. If you're part of a community anywhere with the Niners, it's a win. That is beautiful. I want a party. I want a memorable experience, good food, good drinks. I want to give away a ridiculous amount of stuff. That's my love language. So that's what we're going to do. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, if you want to join us there, those are up right now. Go sign up. And some of those spots, prices go up. So if we sell a certain amount, we're going to cap that home game. A lot of the away games, I booked two venues, one for under 200, one for over 200. So if we hit those numbers, then I just bump over to another venue. Not doing that for the home game. I want to see how this first one goes. So hopefully that answers some of those questions. But those tickets are up now, and we do have limited spots. So look at Phil. He says, stick to him, John. Tailgate at home. It's hard. It's a lot of work, but I love it, because you're competing with so much. You know what I mean? Tail gunner. I love it. Scott, at Candlestick back in the day, I saw our RV catch fire from a tailgate barbecue, burn to the ground like 20 minutes. Now that's a fire. Yeah, we're not doing that. Right here, Cubs. So pumped for my first road trip, Dallas. Dallas is going to be huge. Captain, we walk to the game. So he says you should not leave a rush road trip sober. We walk. We're safe. We party responsibly. But, you know, we do have some drinking games if you want to take part. J-Dog, what's up, man? From Boston. He says, I don't know if you can top that Houston party. That was epic. Dude, that was a lot of people. We had a good time, man. What's up, man? Appreciate you, buddy. He says, unfortunately, can only make Las Vegas, maybe in LA. Neither would be the best places to bring the kiddos. SoFi's chill, and especially that Thursday game against the Chargers. It's not going to be crazy. It's really not. Chargers fans are not. Come on, man. If you're a Chargers fan, you can't be that passionate, right? You know what I mean? Like Vegas, and it's funny, you know, I took my kids to the Vegas game and we saw three fights. This was the first time the 49ers played at the new Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, which is one of my favorite spots. We saw three very bad fights. All three fights were Raiders fans fighting Raider fans. It's the way it goes. And yeah, there's some Niners knuckleheads out there, but stick to your thing and whatever. Like, you're going to be, I think those are pretty safe places. And we go in groups, and I have a lot of people that email me and say, John, I'm coming by myself. Some of them are females. Dude, stick with us. You stay right by our side till we get in the stadium and we can meet with you. I'll say I'm recording right here after the game. If you want to stay with us, and I've got a little posse with me, my guys, and you know, our team that help out, meet us right here. We'll wait for you. Like, we are all about keeping everybody safe and making sure everybody gets to where we want positive experiences. So sorry, I went so far on that. That was a little too much talking. Let's get back to more positives. Deshaun Stribling and D'Amador Lenore back in practice. No contact jerseys, but I feel like both those guys, their preseason's done. Deshaun Stribling, I do not expect to play in this third preseason. You want him to get reps, but not if he's having a shoulder injury. Demo looked pristine, blanketing Ladd McConkey on a third and short. Played well into the second quarter. Looked awesome in run support. Had a tackle for no gain, almost a tackle for loss. Those guys, they're done. It is time to get ready for the season, and I fully expect Demo to be the number one corner. I fully expect Deshaun Stribling to start in the first game in three wide receiver sets. The fact that he's out there still practicing, just not getting contact, that's huge. The reps are still coming. They're not going to come in the game, though. Don't expect Deshaun Stribling to play this game. That's done. Now, Joel Martinez right here. When can Bosa practice? That's kind of the issue, right? Because he's still not back there. I mean, the trifecta would have been awesome. It didn't happen. But the fact that we've had Bosa out there doing CMC-like warm-ups. Again, every player's not the same. Bosa doesn't need the reps to be ready. Bosa needs to be in game player shape. Bosa works out more than any player on the 49ers roster, maybe in the NFL during the season. He's the only guy on the Niners roster that still lifts weights five times a week during the season. Most do three. He does five. He's going through the same regime that you see him go through, very similar to the Christian McCaffrey one, always off to the side. He's a loner. Now, what is it that makes Nick Bosa so special? He's a technician. He's a technician. It's the way he prepares for the game. I still think he will play. I don't think George Kittle plays week one, even though he's back at practice now. I think Bosa will. Obviously, the sooner he gets back, the better. Grayson Halton needs these reps. I wish he was out there. Nick Martin needs these reps. Wish he was out there. Pleasance, no. Kyle Juszczyk, not worried with a broken finger. He's good. Doesn't need the reps. Renardo Green, that one kind of hurts. But, man, he was just, Renardo Green was playing so well. Awesome camp. Just awesome freaking camp. And so, yeah, oh man, thank you, Phil. I appreciate you saying that, man. That was a little kick in the stomach, man. All I'm trying to do is help fans out, but I know that's not for everybody. So you do with that what you will. Yeah. And yeah, Ben, I am with you here. I feel like the team's being extra cautious, and that's good. I think most of these injuries wouldn't keep the guys out of a real game. Bosa's going to be out there. And my favorite thing, I'm not a big fan. What is it, the Brick by Brick series? Not the biggest fan in those. Sometimes they're cool, but my favorite thing I took away through the two episodes now was just Bosa having the camera in his car driving to practice, just saying, I'm dying to get back out there. Like, because you don't see the passion from Bosa a lot of times because he's just so Eeyore, ho-hum. But, like, I love seeing that. That was my favorite thing from that series. Like, I get out my notes and I watch those, like, oh, what can I share? And it's just nothing. It's just all just. There's nothing to learn from this. It's cool to see the players interact and stuff, but like, I'm a football guy, right? Like, what can I take away from this to understand the 49ers season more? I don't really get much. It's cool. It's entertainment value. I like it. But that was the one thing where I was just like, oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. But yeah, maybe it is just them being cautious. Invader, yeah, Bosa is likely on a predetermined maintenance workout plan as well. I agree. And like, that's the thing. George Kittle, you're ramping out for week two, week three, week four. CMC's ramping up for week one, but he's got to have the explosiveness back. We'll see what happens with Bosa. We're going to have to see what that looks like. The Romello Hyatt injury is horrible. Undisclosed, not sure what's going on there. That is the one that's just like, oh, why is he out? Hasn't looked great. Hasn't looked bad. Romello Hyatt's tape week two versus week one was better. It increased, but sucks that he's out there. Mike Evans not finishing another practice. That sucks. Don't like that. Now, there was a lot of fireworks at practice today. Everybody talked about Brock Purdy and Fred Warner going back and forth. Like, oh, Brock Purdy talking trash to the freaking Warner Reen? Are you kidding me? I love that. And, you know, it came back that Warner, Cam Inman put, you know, the play before or right before that, Kalen Black ran an option route over the middle and just got clobbered by Warner. The next play, Purdy goes to Debo over the middle and started talking trash to Fred. Like, oh. There's levels to this, and you get George Kittle back and everybody starts feeling a little spry. I'm just saying, man, I freaking love that. I really, really do. Vic Tafora said Jacob Cowing looked really sharp in 1v1 drills, stacking positives. Stout had an interception versus Purdy. Love that. Now, a couple press conference things. Kubiak was asked about the left guard battle, which everybody kind of keeps talking about. Again, I've finished all of the tape from the second preseason game. Go watch that. I really thought Connor Colby looked good. Like, borderline good. Bottom of the borderline good. Like, above average, I would feel comfortable saying, consistency-wise. Wasn't perfect. Had a couple plays I didn't like. Kubiak was asked about the left guard bag. He said, quote, no major updates, and it's still a competition. When asked about Carver Willis, said, quote, he has definitely improved, but he has to keep getting better. Improved, yes. But the problem was when Austin Pleasance got hurt and Carver Willis went in the third quarter, he looked worse than when he was playing against the twos in the first quarter. Like, it's just so inconsistent right now. You still get the dominant run plays, but it's just like there's a lot of just like, yeah, that ain't it. Yeah, that's not it yet. Like, it's not ready to open. This, like, he still need, and I expect them both to play a lot of reps this week as well. But I think that rotation is going to continue for a while. I really, really do. Right here, Maria. What's up, Maria? I've been hearing mixed reviews on how Austin Pleasance played and if he's a viable left guard option. What are your thoughts? No, that was Austin Pleasance had played really good at left tackle. Really good. Not great. Really good. He was awful at left guard. It was too much for him. Couldn't anchor. Got the quarterbacks hit way too many times. Combo blocks weren't good. Now, do you judge him? It's a brand new development that they started doing that, but now he's injured. That knee injury looked rough. He's not going to be playing this week for sure. So, like, that experiment seems like it's over. You bring him back on the practice squad and let him get some reps at guards. That's kind of best case scenario. He ain't making the 53. No, he looks so bad. He looked really, really bad. He looked worse than Robert Jones. And I was like, dude, Robert Jones should retire. They're saying Robert Jones has a calf injury and he's not going to be playing this week. He's removed from the competition. Should have been, but based on tape alone, but now he's not playing. It's a two-man race. It's Carver Willis, Connor Colby. Connor Colby should be the guy. I want him to rotate, but it should be Connor Colby. I would do two series Connor Colby, one series Carver Willis. If you had to make that decision now. Now, maybe Carver Willis comes out in the preseason game and just, like, put it all together and boom, the package is complete. Carver Willis is ready. His ceiling's way higher. But, no, you cannot consider Austin Pleasance or Robert Jones for the starting left guard job. Not with the injuries, not with missing time, not with the tape they just put up in their most recent gameplay. Connor Colby is head and shoulders above all of them at their current state. Ceiling for Carver Willis? Yes. Not there yet. Not there yet. Oh, there it is, Big Tone. It's called The Build. Yeah, and it's all about, like, non-football, which is cool. It's awesome. You know, there's different, like, I watch The Quarterback Netflix. I watch Mic'd Up. I watch anything I can. But, like, when this came out, I'm like, I get my notes out. I sit down. I silence my phone. I'm in the lab. What can I learn? You don't learn anything. You learn turkey noises playing golf. I was just like, dude, this is annoying. Like, I did not enjoy it. anyway, whatever. I'm staying away from that. But Invader, appreciate you, man. I got to say, as an amateur evaluator, I disagree with Kubiak. Pleasance, to me, looked unnatural in his movements. Willis' movements looked very natural. Yeah, I agree. And Invader, I feel like there's a Venn diagram, and you and I agree probably more than we should. I don't like that. It's kind of like me and Ant. I don't like I disagree with Larry on a lot of things. I like that. I don't like whenever I feel like we agree on everything. It's like, man, one of us got to check something. We can't agree on everything. But Invader, I agree with you as always. Right here, Maria, why did Connor Colby fall off the first place spot? He seemed like he had the job and then slid to reps with the twos. That was the plan all along. The plan was, dude, this is a competition. Everybody's going to get reps there. You give 2 weeks of first-team reps to Connor Colby. Then you gave 2 weeks first-team reps to Robert Jones. Then you gave this whole time Carver Willis wasn't practicing. He finally gets healthy, goes back out there. He's been there for a week and a half now. Yeah, because you need guys to rotate. You got to be able to play the right and left side because you're not the dominant guard. Dominic Pooney's the dominant guard. He stays at the right side, away from Trent Williams. The backup guard, or the number two and number three guard, you got to be able to play left and right. Got to be able to play both those. Do that right here. Leon, appreciate that. He says, Boone is excited to see Willis is already on par. I would say Carver Willis is already ahead of Jones. Alex Boone made me more comfortable with Willis. The run, if you break down run clips, you love Carver Willis. Why is this guy not starting? Why is he not starting? You don't see him anchor 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in a row, and it's just like, all right, not there yet. Just not there yet. Not there yet. Right here, has there been any updates on CJ West's injury? He's back at practice. I don't think he's doing teamwork, but he's back at practice. And again, very similar to Alfred Collins. CJ West, before and after injury last year, was two different people. You got to understand that with these big guys. They don't just come back from injury and they're right there, especially the young guys. Takes time. It's a slow ramp up. You might not even see CJ West out there for this preseason game. Maybe a couple of reps, but I'm not even sure he's doing team yet. You just got to wait. You got to wait. And thankfully, you have a lot of guys in that room. But, yeah, no new updates on Bosa. Things are still the same there. Maria says, the fact that Romello injury is undisclosed makes me nervous. This team and injuries. I mean, we got this. Today was the positive, most positive injury things we can get. But there's still just these little, like, quit nipping at me, man. Like, let me just have this. George Kittle's back, damn it. He's off pup. Christian McCaffrey's back. Just let us have it. Oh, by the way, Romello Hite. Oh, by the way, Mike Evans took his pads off halfway through. Like, there's always going to be something. You hope it's all precautionary. That's what you hope for. Hope for the best. Prepare for the worst. If Romello is out for a while, we'll deal with that when we get there and when we know. But I think the fact that they didn't say anything is good. If it was a dramatic one, perhaps they would have said something, but I don't know. I don't know. Oh, is that Don Burr? Is that the man? Don Burr, 1553. I know YouTube puts the numbers after, and I hate that. Detroit versus everybody. Our defense is going to shock a lot of people. It's going to have to. Your offense is guaranteed top five. Detroit's defense, I mean, how many starters have you lost since training camp or since OTAs? 4. I was shocked how well your offense went without Ben Johnson. I'm not betting very big on Detroit this year, but that conference is probably the second, or that division's, I would argue, the second best division of football next to the NFC West. I do not root against Detroit. But yeah, we'll see, man. Wonderful to see you, Don. I appreciate you stopping by. Hope all things are well, man. And we usually get to see you. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago where we opened the season against you guys. And so you were in for a lot of the offseason. But I just want to say appreciate you, man. Glad you're here and hope all is well. Don Burr, freaking legend, dude. I love it. All right, things are good. Two Hall of Famers. Remember, Saturday, we have our Zoom hangout, and this upcoming week's always a little bit different. So the 49ers play Thursday night. We will do a post-game show Thursday night when the game's over like we always do. Friday, I have to travel. I got to take care of some stuff. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get a game or a show out Friday, but that's okay because I'm not going to do the film. I learned back in the day I would do the film so fast so that I could see who played well and whatever, and I'd spend time on these players, and then they're cut 2 hours later, and I was like, all right, the third preseason game before the cuts, we don't break down the film until after the roster cuts have taken place. So this upcoming week schedule, game Thursday, post-game Thursday night, no show Friday. Saturday we have the Zoom hangout at 2. Sunday morning, the cuts take place. Then we do a live show after that. So once the 53 is realized, and again, the 49ers are the last team to submit their final cuts. They are every single year. It's a Shanahan staple. Then we start to break down the film of the final third preseason game, because then we have that 2-week layover and we get to spend time on the guys that made the 53. That way I'm not doing these breakdowns and spending all this time on somebody that's not on the 49ers roster anymore, like Drew Moss. I've learned my lesson. So that's kind of the schedule for this upcoming week. But I'm excited. And oh, look at this. We got a Packers guy in here. Let's go 48ers. So funny. Look at that. If you see all those emojis that he put after that, that's how many losses the Packers have had to the 49ers in the playoffs. So, man, appreciate you, Ken. I'm not as nice to Packers fans as I am to the other ones. And, yeah, I think that this is important, too. Big Tone, thanks for the super chat, my man. Khalil Dinkins, what can he actually do or show in the little time he has left? Will he play against the Raiders? Obviously, they like him, but for 10 days, he ain't making the 53-man roster. He hasn't played. But when you give the undrafted or priority free agent rookies all that money, you are ensuring you stay with us on the practice squad for the year. That's what that money is for. We are paying you ahead of schedule, worst case scenario, to stay on the practice squad. So I do not anticipate Khalil Dinkins even having a shot at the 53. Not even close. But a team would have to put him on their 53-man roster to get him away from the Niners. This is basically, we want you to learn the reps. We want you to get in the building, go through practice to be on our practice squad after the 53. The $280,000 that they gave him guaranteed up front is basically saying, look, we're paying the full year for your practice squad. You're with us. Now, you would have hoped he would have been healthier and contributed at a spot to the 53, but now that George Kittle's off of the PUP list, Khalil Dinkins' spot at making the 53 is even harder. Your three tight ends, it's set. It is set. It is George Kittle. It is Luke Farrell. It's Jake Tonches. That's it. If you did keep four, it'd be Braydon Willis. He looked really, really good, consistent, but it ain't going to be him. Braydon Willis will make the practice squad and get elevated if George Kittle doesn't play. I'm telling you what's going to happen. It's not Khalil Dinkins. Khalil Dinkins is long-term development. When Luke Farrell's contract expires, you would want Khalil Dinkins to step into that role, that tight end two blocker, extra right tackle role. That's what that is. You have Kittle and you got Tonjes. Those are the guys that can do the routes and the scheming and all that stuff in the receiving game. Luke Farrell and Khalil Dinkins are the similar guys. Dinkins ain't making this 53. He ain't got a shot. Not now that Kittle's back. It's just not there. But I'm glad that he is back. I am glad that he is back. What's up, Stefan? Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. I like the new film format, not splitting offense and defense. It allows, follows the flow of the game better. Yeah, so like we're always adapting, learning. Because I used to just do all offense. And then I used to do just all defense. Then all special teams. And then we adapted to offense and special teams. And now we're just doing quarter breakdowns. So, man, thank you, Stefan. I appreciate that. And I do think that it flows better, a little more game situational, and you see how the complete, you know, what's the complementary football, right? That's the buzzword. You get to go through the feel of, man, special teams screwed over this team, which means that hurts the offense. And so you go through that just a little bit more. So I do like that. I do like that. Thank you, Stefan. I really do appreciate that. right here. Yeah, man, thank you so much. Ben, NY Niners. He says, just want to ask everybody to send prayers to our own Jack. You see her in here. She's like one of the most positive people ever. I've had the pleasure of meeting Jax a few times. She's incredible and beyond generous to so many people. She buys tickets to 49ers Rush road trips and says, John, give these away to, you know, two people that need tickets consistently. And we always try to find somebody that we can, you know, bless with that. Her house was destroyed in one of the tornadoes. I am not as wise to the situation and whatever else, but yeah, just Jax, she's the best. You can find her on social media. I think there's a GoFundMe. I don't usually put those out there, but like, if you want to participate in that, she's about as good a person as you can get out there. And, you know, the insurance is always just a mess in and of itself. And you got to go through all these hoops before you can get anything. So, yeah, just want to say thoughts, prayers with her and anybody that's been affected. You know, obviously, whenever it affects somebody that you know personally, It's always a little bit more dramatic, but just constantly be on the look to help people out. Life is very easy. Have as much fun as possible. Help as many people as possible. You just follow those two things. You'll be all right. And Jax, we love you. Sucks. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. So be a good person. Help people out when you can, if you have the means. Make people's days better. A lot of you guys did that for me today, and I'm very thankful. So much positive stuff with the 49ers. You love to see that. 17 days out from the 49ers playing their first regular season game, first game NFL ever in Australia. I'll be there. Hopefully you guys will be there too. That's going to do it for us today. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.